Welcome to the Carry On Bags Only podcast, where you will hear from special guests from all around the globe that will educate, encourage, and inspire you to see the world while traveling light. On today's episode, Veronica Skye, another Carry On Savvy traveler, joins me to discuss all things travel and adventure. You may recognize Veronica from season 8 of The Amazing Race Canada. She also has a background in hospitality and tourism and is the founder of Monday's Run Club. Get ready to laugh, cry, and get excited for your next adventure. So sit back, relax, and remember, keep calm and carry on. Welcome to the Carry On Bags Only podcast, Veronica.
Thank you so much. I'm really excited. This is actually my first podcast ever.
This is huge. This is so exciting.
I'm very excited. I do a lot of presentations at work and I do like a lot of public speaking, but yeah, this is my first ever podcast.
Oh, well, I'm excited. I'm hoping that maybe this will kickstart you into doing podcasts more often then.
I know, me too. I think we talked about this. I was like, I've always wanted to do one. So
yay. Well, I'll give a little bit of an intro. I'm super excited to have Veronica on the podcast today. She has such an inspiring story. It's going to help get people excited about travel, adventure, and just getting out of your comfort zone. She was part of the Amazing Race Canada, and she also founded a run club in Vancouver after moving from Ontario. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about you and your travel journey?
Yeah, sounds good. I grew up traveling. My parents were both very adventurous and loved to travel, but in very different ways, which is kind of cool. So my mom was definitely more hotel, pools, restaurants, but also very cultural and really immersive, like making sure that we were immersing with the locals and eating at the local restaurants and exploring some of like the natural things within that country. And then my dad was very rustic, very outdoors, like grew up in a small town, Northern Ontario. So grew up fishing and camping and hiking and everything. So my sister and I kind of got the best of both worlds, which was really awesome. And so I really grew to love both. I can obviously appreciate a 5-star hotel with a gorgeous pool and room service, but I really do gravitate toward a rooftop tent in a remote area, cooking food over a fire. And with that, I feel very fortunate because there's room for it all. And I feel like when you kind of put yourself into a box of this is the only way I like to travel, you really limit yourself to the opportunities and to the beauty that is around the world or right in your backyard. So from there, I love travel so much. And I'd always go on these like really cool trips, in my opinion. And I'd come home and I would tell all my friends. And people would be like, well, what restaurant was that? Or where did you go? Or what did you do? And I'm like, this was sort of before the era of Instagram or anything like that too, to share all of these things. And I was like, surely there are people that do this. And then that's when I found out about travel agents, right? Who spend their lives traveling to different places and learning and then sharing that information. So I never went the travel agent route. I have more of like a heart for marketing or like public relations or like speaking and like educating. So I actually went to school for travel and tourism with a specialty in marketing. And it's like very niche. I didn't even know that it existed, but I did that. So I've now been in the travel industry for over 10 years. And I started my own business when I was quite young, which was acting as a consultant for international hotels to the Canadian travel trade market. So I would act on behalf of hotels or destinations or excursions. And I would come back to Canada and I would educate travel agents or I would educate airlines or tour operators on what these destinations have to offer for the Canadian market. And then what I would do for the hotels is I would help them based on market research within Canada, what Canadian travelers are looking for, how we like to travel, what are some trends and things that are coming up for Canadian travelers. And I would help them view their marketing or their branding or their pitches to cater to the Canadian travel market. So very specific job, very niche, but that's what I do in the travel industry.
That's so cool. And it's really neat because we were chatting about, you know, having you come on the podcast and I had met you through the running group and I had no idea that you were even working in tourism. I was just like, wow, this girl's really cool. She's really adventurous. She's always outdoors doing stuff. And I was like, oh, I really wanted to chat with you. And then it was really cool to just even learn more about how you got into travel.
So it's funny. Yeah, no, I'm a very corporate girly. dead by day and very adventurous outdoorsy girl in my spare time. But yeah, I started doing that. And when that started to pick up, I actually landed like a really great contract with a hotel chain in Mexico. And I ended up working for them for 10 years. And that was really where my travel like experience came from. I traveled all over Canada. That was my entire market. So I was going coast to coast. I traveled all over Mexico, different parts of the Caribbean. And I think what led me to being like a carry-on savvy traveler was in 2019, I actually hit like 154 flights.
What?
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah. 154 segments. So that was a lot.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So that was between Canada. That was going down to Mexico. That was like personal leisure trips as well. But I remember at the end of 2019, I was like, oh my God, how can I possibly keep this up?
Yeah.
And then the pandemic hit. So then I was on 3 flights in a year. But yeah, that was, that's how that really started. And then now I work for like a global marketing agency based out of Toronto, but I'm a senior account manager at that agency. It's called Zeno Group. It's a fantastic company to work for. And I manage the like B2B part of the account for Visit California Tourism Board.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. So I stopped doing the hotel side and now I'm working more like tourism board destination side.
I'm so happy to hear that you've had such a crazy and really cool travel experience.
Yeah,
and
thanks.
That you're an avid carry-on bags traveler, because that's what we want. We really want to be able to promote people to travel.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, I've always loved travel. Obviously, with the pandemic, I was really forced to slow down and it shook me a bit. I was like, I don't know who I am if I'm not going to the airport or literally living out of a carry-on. Like, my sister would die laughing and she'd be like, I'd come home and I like wouldn't even unpack my suitcase. Like, I would just leave it there and I would just grab it the next day. Or I'd be like digging out of my suitcase and then pick it up the next day. And I lived out of a carry-on. And yeah. I was just always on the go. So when that stopped and that came to a halt, it was weird. It was very weird. And it took me a long time to adapt. And then I moved to Vancouver. I was like, I gotta go somewhere. I gotta do something different.
Yeah.
So it was. Now I'm not traveling as much, but it was a really nice change of pace. I realized that I do like to be able to like set routes and have a bit of a routine, and being in a relationship, it's nice to like see your partner more than twice a month. Right. So yeah. But with that being said, I am definitely still always on the go every weekend. I'm like, what are we doing this weekend? What adventure can we go on? Should we go on a road trip? Like, I'm just going to fly to Toronto for the weekend, or like things are kind of still very on the go, but not flying as much.
So is there anything that prompted you to move to Vancouver? Like, was it the pandemic, or how did that all happen?
So with my previous role, like pre-pandemic, when I was self-employed, the business was growing quite a bit. And so there was an opportunity to hire somebody to help take over the territory. So we hired somebody out of the Maritimes who helped do Quebec and the Maritimes. And then I was still doing like Ontario to Western Canada. But then even that just became way too much with the way that the hotels were succeeding. And we needed more help. So the hotel company said, we need to split this territory up. We're going to have a third person in Canada. Which territory do you want? Do you want Ontario, Manitoba? Because you live in Toronto? Or, you know, they're like, you've always loved the West Coast. Like, do you want the opportunity to move out West? And right away, I was like, oh my God, no, I would never like move to Vancouver. I was like, I love it there. But my time there was fun. But Toronto was always home. My sister had just moved to the city. So that was really important to me. We were living together. We were having so much fun. And then I hummed and hawed. That was November 2019. And then I'd set my mind. I was like, I'm staying in Toronto. I was like, okay, well, that sucks. I'm not going to be traveling to Vancouver for work anymore. But whatever. January 2020 comes around and I had to go to Revelstoke for an event for work. I can't remember how it happened, but my dad came with me and we drove, I think, from either Kelowna or Calgary to Revelstoke together. And I was like, let's go to this event. And then I was like, and then let's stay for the weekend and we can ski and we can just hang out and spend time in the mountains. And we were driving through and my dad already lives in the Okanagan, and he had been like manifesting me to move out West. So when I said I wasn't, he was really sad or bummed or whatever. And we're driving. And then we're like driving through the Rockies, I guess it is, or like the Kootenays, yeah, to Revelstoke in the winter. And it's lightly snowing. And I look around And my dad's driving and I'm looking around and he just looks at me. He like knew what I was going to say. I feel like I could cry. I was like, what am I doing? And he's like, yeah, I don't know. And then I'm like, I gotta call Heidi, the woman I was working for at the time. So I called her when I got to the hotel and I was like, I think I made a terrible mistake. And she was like, yeah, we were wondering when you were going, like when it was going to click for you. Like, what do you mean? You are West Coast, Veronica. I'm like, everybody knew except for me. So anyway, I decided after a trip to Revelstoke that I belonged in the mountains. So then I moved. So we set the plan. I was like, I'm going to move in the spring. I'm going to help them onboard a new person. And then COVID hit. So we were all kind of working from home, but like I had an apartment lined up. I was so stoked. I was like ready. My friends were excited, but I was like, so if we're all just like still working from home, can I just go out west? Like I was like ready to go. So I moved out here. Yeah. May 2020 with the intention of COVID, like how long could COVID last? And then yeah, all flights from Canada to Mexico were canceled for like 6 months. And luckily I had a really great relationship with this hotel company that they kept me on all throughout the pandemic. And then opportunity with Zeno came up. And it's funny, like I'd been to Vancouver a number of times and I loved it, but it was just that, I don't know, maybe it was like, maybe my dad's manifesting worked.
Aw.
Yeah.
How was that moving here to Vancouver? Like, was that like, obviously initially you're like, no, I don't want to go. Were you excited? Were you nervous? How did that feel when you made the plunge?
I think because I've always been kind of on the go. I don't really think about things too much, which my boyfriend laughs at. And I had a really good conversation with my sister about it before I left, where I was like, I don't want to leave you kind of thing. And she's like, I'm not a baby anymore. And in the nicest way though. And she's like, as much as I love living with you and as much as I love like our life together, she's like, I want you to go and thrive. Like, I want you to go live where you're going to just like flourish. I'm going to cry. Yeah. Where you're going to like flourish and become your best self. And that's what she wanted for herself too. And she's like, don't think of this as leaving me. Think of this as like, this is what you're meant to do.
Yeah.
So it was really sweet. Yeah.
That's huge, because I think like you need to have those supporters in your life that will elevate you and want to see you succeed, and to have both your dad and your sister advocate like that is amazing.
I agree. I'm very lucky to have the both of them in my life for sure. And it's true. I feel like I've had conversations with friends who like want to make the leap and do this big, crazy change in their life. And their families will guilt them or their friends guilt them. And I'm lucky I didn't experience that. I mean, my friends were bummed, but I make it back. I really make the effort to like stay in their lives, to stay in touch with their kids. Like I find that really important. So
yeah. Good for you. So you made the transition, you come to Vancouver, and one of the cool things that you talked about was getting out there and meeting people. So did you have a network in Vancouver, or did you have to kind of start to make that as soon as you moved?
I had a couple friends. I had one of my best friends, Sarah, another one of my best friends, Sarah, and I had like some acquaintances here and there. But what I really realized was I didn't have a lot of friends in like the fitness space or like the outdoors space. And that was something when I would come just to visit, it would be okay to just like go for dinner and drinks, and wasn't really planning a lot of like adventure, right? When I was just like popping in and out of town. So I didn't really think about that. But then when I moved here, I really wanted to embrace living in Vancouver, and I really wanted to embrace like adventuring all the time. So yeah, it was tricky, but then that's kind of where Mondays came in, right? I wanted to make new friends. And my biggest advice for people moving to a new city is join a club, a run club, a tennis club, whatever you're into, but do activities, do sports, do classes, and, you know, reach out to, even if it is somebody that you've met once, reach out to them and make the effort. I hear very, very often, it's so hard to make friends in a new city. It's so hard to meet people. And then my rebuttal, because I feel very fortunate that I haven't ever struggled with meeting people or making friends, because I'm very outgoing. And so I ask them, I say, that's so, you know, what are you doing to try and make friends? And then they kind of get stumped. And I'm like, well, people aren't just going to be friends with you. You have to bring something to the table. Like a relationship is a two-way street. And I think that starts with planting the seed of a meeting, right? Or like the second you meet someone, find something you find or you have in common with them and build on that and sort of the same way you would with a romantic relationship. And that's kind of how I treat all of my friendships, is putting like really putting in the effort to make sure that it's a balanced friendship.
I couldn't agree more with that, because I know the same as you. I'm for the most part pretty extroverted, but I realize that I'm an extroverted introvert. So
me too.
Yeah, I really like to be around people, but then I have to like have alone time to kind of re-energize myself.
Okay. So
I was finding myself working at home more. Same to you. My previous role that I was in when I was living in Toronto had a ton of travel. So my carry-on bag was always sitting out because I knew I was like, well, I'm probably going to be traveling somewhere. And then that stopped. And then I felt like a piece of me had kind of died. And it was like going through this whole thing. What do I do now? Because travel is so much a part of my identity. And I started to really miss the West Coast, and I ended up moving back here. And the role that I moved into was primarily just working from home, and I was not getting out and meeting people. And it was like the depression started to set in, and I was like, this cannot be the trajectory of the rest of my life. No. Like, I've got to do something about it. And I was like, okay, I need to find groups. I need to get myself out of my comfort zone. Yeah. And I started doing a lot of research, and same as you, I was like, hey, I need to find fitness, like something that's going to get me around people. And that's how I ended up finding out about Monday's Run Club, was through,
I love that.
Yeah, through one of my friends that I met through a gym that I joined. And she told me, she's like, I found this run club. It looks really cool. And so
I love that.
It's really cool to see how, you know, those connections are so important. And I think that's one of the things I really wanted to touch on today, was just highlighting to your point. Like, I remember the first time I moved to Vancouver, people telling me like, good luck meeting people in Vancouver. It's like a hard time to make friends. And I'm like, what? Really?
I know. I heard the same thing. And I was like, I don't know. Like, my sister used to make fun of me too. She's like, you take the TTC home from work in Toronto and you like have a new friend that you're going for dinner with that night. She's like, I don't understand. And I'm like, because I make them feel like I want to be their friend, right? Yeah. Like, I make that, like, treat every new friend like they're your oldest friend. And that's something that I really hold dear to me. And not in like a weird, creepy way where you're like obsessed with them or telling them your deepest, darkest secrets right away, but treat them with like the care and the respect and that you would with your oldest friend. And that's how you make new friends. And so it's funny, I was listening to a podcast the other day, a Goop podcast about big friendships. And I really liked what Sarah, the guest, said. And it was, some people in life are hosts and some people in life are guests, let's just say, like traditionally speaking, which means someone like you and I might be more outgoing and might be more willing to be able to bring people together and might be able to put ourselves out there. And then people who are guests might have a harder time putting themselves out there or facilitating a group of people. So my advice then would be, if you consider yourself to be a guest, let's say, latch on to the hosts. Yeah. Go where the hosts are facilitating these communities and go where they're doing the heavy lifting for you to put on these events or to put on these sports groups or to put on these run clubs. And from there, like, you'll find your people. And that's how it is a very non-intimidating way to meet people, is when you don't have to do any of the like planning or facilitating yourself. Like, you just show up.
Yeah.
And you know, say hello and be kind and be non-intimidating and put yourself out there, but at the same time, like, utilize other people's strengths in order to succeed. That's something I've learned.
I love that you are able to carve out a niche for yourself too. Like, the fact that you were able to kind of hone in on what your skills were and really go, okay, these are the things that I want. Here's what I'm looking for. And you need that. Like,
well, thank you. I mean, that I always love, like, more than anything, when people talk about this, like, success of Mondays or how much it's helped them or how much they love it. Or when I see people dating or when I see people going traveling together, I'm like, that to me is that it really has nothing to do with running, which is so funny. Cause when you say hone in on what you're good at, like, I didn't even run before I moved to Vancouver. So that's the whole thing. It's about the community. It's about bringing people together. It's about creating a space for people to make friends in a city that's allegedly hard to make friends in. We just happened to go for a run and throw in some exercise with it. But yeah, I was inspired to start a run club because I thought that there was a space for it.
Did you ever anticipate it going as big as it has?
No.
What inspired you to start the run club?
So it does go back a bit to the question about like moving to a new city and making friends. And when I had the idea in my head of like, okay, I'm finally moving to Vancouver, I always wanted to be like one of those fit, cool girls that ran on the seawall, you know, that I'd see running. I was like, oh man, to be a Vancouver girl, that would just be so cool. But I didn't run. I was like your typical happy hour corporate girl from Toronto. So I was like, maybe the odd spin class here and there, but I never had like a fitness routine. So when I moved here, or even before I moved here, I made becoming a runner my goal. And I did it. I bought myself a pair of running shoes. I had them shipped to my new apartment. And I was like, I'm doing this. I don't care. And I'd run on my own and I really sucked. It was so hard to get started. And it's something that I talk about a lot. It's intimidating to start because it's not easy. Like running is really tough. And even today, I'm not the best runner. I'd run with my boyfriend sometimes too. And like, he hates running. Like he doesn't really like running, but he's just like kind of one of those people who's good at every sport they try. And he could like keep up with me for a 5K. And I was like, this is really annoying. You know, like, why are you so good? And I'm dying. So he helped me a lot with that too. Like how to be patient with myself, how to like stop when I needed to stop and everything. And he's also like really good at gear. So he was teaching me about the different shoes for different things. Like I was running in like running shoes from Winners before I bought my first pair of Nikes. And he's like, I think those are training shoes. And I was like, they're runners. Yeah. No. So he helped me a lot in that way too. And like started to kind of get my education going, but there was still like that component missing. I was like, okay, I'm becoming a runner and this is really fun, but I'm like, kind of just like doing it by myself for the most part. So I realized I wanted to make more friends that ran. And so I considered joining a run club. And when I moved here, the only ones that were really around were like Running Room, which wasn't really my demographic. And then the other two I went to just seemed a little bit intimidating. And they, you know, it's funny I say this now because just go anyway and suck it up kind of thing. And like, that's how you meet people. But I felt that they were all a lot more advanced runners than I was. Mm-hmm. And I felt that they had a click already, which is so amazing. Like they've worked so hard to build this community. And now that I know them way better, I'm like so proud of them. And it's amazing. And I know the work that goes into it. But at the time I was like, I can't keep up with these people, but I still kind of want to hang out. And I looked and looked and looked and looked, and that wasn't really available in a run club. And so I started my own. I was like, I'm going to force people to hang out with me. You know, I'm going to force people like me that like the same things I like to meet me and hang out with me. So that's kind of how that started. And I really honed in on a non-intimidating social run club. And it was for people like me who maybe aren't the best runners, but we're not here to like set personal records. We're not here for anything. It's really just to like get outside, catch a tan, get a sweat and have a beer. And that was my motto. And it's still the motto. It really is. And I think there was obviously a market for it.
It's crazy to see how big the group is. Like I remember when I was looking at Mondays on Instagram and just seeing the group expand and how many people were joining. And to your point, I know that when I was starting out getting into running, I was trying to look for different clubs. And to your point, like there are some, but they're in different parts of the city. So mm-hmm. some of them I was like, well, that's kind of hard for me to get to. And I knew I wouldn't be committed to it. So I was trying to find things that were a little bit more chill, had that social element and was close for me to get to. Otherwise I'm going to have excuses to not go. So I love that Mondays covers all of that. And it's just mm-hmm. got such an amazing vibe. And the times that I have been able to go, because I haven't been consistent with it throughout the summer, but every time that I've gone to an event that's happened, I've always met somebody through that mm-hmm. event. Like people are so open to chatting with you and it really helps break down that nervousness of going and feeling intimidated. And I love that just recently, I think you guys did like a Barbie themed run.
We did. Yeah, that was really fun. And that's the thing too. It's, you know, people, I want to go back to your point about everyone's really nice, everyone says something. And I think it's because everybody's really in the same boat, right? We've all shown up to something, like everyone showed up to Mondays for the first time at one point or another, whether you're an OG now or you've come three times or you come inconsistently, everyone showed up for the first time, likely by themselves. And yeah. So we know what it's like to walk into a room and no one says hi to you. That sucks. So when you see somebody walk in, like, don't be that person. Say hi to the new person, right? And be like, not so bad, man. Like, it's going to be okay. And don't worry, like, we're going to have a beer after and it's going to be fun. And it's only intimidating for like that first minute or two as you're walking up. And then you're right. You talk to one person and you realize, oh, okay, this is a really, really badass community of awesome people. That's really what Mondays is. It is.
Yeah. And I encourage anyone, if they're moving to Vancouver or moving to a new city, definitely look into what groups exist. And to your point, if like the Goop podcast says, like if you're more of a host or a guest, figure out like maybe you can start a run club, or if you're more, just find one that you can join.
That's right. You could be a host or you could be a guest, right?
Yeah, I love that.
It's a really great way to think about it. And if you're like, I definitely wouldn't start my own run club, it's like, well, maybe just go try one. I think it's definitely been an eye opener to see like how many people needed something like this too, and how it has grown. Yes, it's about running. And yes, we're a run club. And yes, we run every Monday, but it has become so much more than that. And like I say, people are dating, people have like found roommates, people go traveling together. There's like, now we have a tennis club and we've got a cycling club and we've got all like all these little offshoots and everything that have been created because of this like open-mindedness of joining a community. So it's awesome.
I love that you've always found a way to make it fun too. Like the fact that it's on Monday, you're making it fun, right?
Yes, and totally.
There's always some form of event going on. I saw that you guys did some biking and then you change up the brewery. So it's not always at the same spot.
Yeah. In the summertime, we try to switch it up and we have a lot of partners that we work with who help, you know, provide product for our parties. Like we don't make any money. It's a nonprofit community. So we rely a lot on our like brewery partners and stuff. And so I really think it's like a nice mutual benefit. Like we're going to bring 30 runners to you, but then can you bring beer for our party kind of thing? So it works out really nicely.
That's really cool. I'm happy that you're able to leverage, you know, those different partnerships and just making it really fun, because that's what it's all about. Like giving something to people to look forward to. And I know for me, when I was coming out of just being at home all the time and not having things to look forward to, I remember when the Mondays had the 2-year anniversary, like the highlight. Like I was so excited to go, and just how fun you made it with all the prizes and just games. It was just such a fun way to meet other people and just get outside and do something active, but also have fun.
I love that. Yeah. I always found like, it's really easy to just message your friends and be like, do you want to go for a drink? Which I love, like love hitting a patio. But I wanted to find a way to incorporate some sort of like health, wellness, activity, something like that, like, and then go for a drink, right? Like and running can be quite social as well. Running, walking, biking, whatever, like have a chit chat, have a catch up for a 5K and then go have a beer instead of just eliminating the exercise.
Well, and one thing that I wanted to highlight that I don't know that we got to touch on, but you signed up for the Amazing Race Canada and were part of that. And was that, when did that happen? Like that was, I'm assuming pre-pandemic?
No, this was really? Just last year. Yeah, it was just on last season.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's season 8. Yeah. So not the current season that's on right now, but last summer. Yeah.
Oh, that is so cool.
Thanks. Yeah, it was awesome. I got the call from my former business partner. She called me and she was like, so what are your thoughts about like reality TV? And I was like, sign me up. Sign me up. And she's like, do you want to know which one it is? And I was like, oh yeah, okay, I guess so. And then she asked me about, if I wanted to be on the Amazing Race Canada. So we applied for that and we got on, which was exciting. And yeah, then off we went for, I think, six or eight weeks of filming, and I got to experience all across Canada. And
And so after doing that experience, like, did that shape your traveling in any way?
It's funny. I thought that because of my travel experience that I would have like a leg up.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, don't worry. Like we got this. And like, not really. The only flex I have is that I had been to, I'm pretty sure I had been to every airport that we landed in. So that was kind of cool. So I was like, I know where the exits are. I know where the rental car places are. I know where this is. So that was kind of cool. But other than that, with Google Maps and with all the technology that you have in everyday life, when you don't have access to that, like all of your savvy goes out the window. So no, I was like trying to read a paper map, or I'm driving and Ben's reading a paper map. And so the travel industry didn't really help me out as much as I thought it was going to. But yeah.
Is there anything from the experience that like you learned? Obviously, like you said, you didn't have the ability to use a Google map. So you're really self-reliant in having to use paper maps, which I don't know if some people have even used them to travel.
I know, right? What did I learn? I learned a lot of things. I learned that I'm a lot more competitive than I thought I was. I thought I was very laid back, very could take it or leave it. I am an absolute psycho. I also learned that I used to give up on hard things a lot easier, or a lot more quickly, I should say. So if I would be doing something in regular life and it was hard, I'd be like, okay, well, that's not for me, obviously. So on to the next. But when quitting isn't an option, right? When you have to get through that next challenge, otherwise you go home. It's really crazy what your mind and your body will do for you when you push it to those limits. So that was a really interesting find of like what I'm actually capable of doing if quitting isn't an option. So now I've taken, that's like the number one thing I've taken from that experience. And so when I'm running or when I'm biking or when things are hard, it's like, I say it out loud. I'm like, what if quitting isn't an option? Like, what if you can't pull over and like take a break? How far can you actually go? And then you just end up going, you just end up persevering. It's really crazy.
I interviewed a girl that I met on an adventure. It was like an adventure race that we did in the UK. And she told me how important self-talk is. She said that there was a couple of times she was in, I can't remember where she was, but she was doing a kind of like a triathlon. She would go into it and she's like, oh my gosh, I've only ran, you know, 1 mile or 1 kilometer. And kind of like thinking of all of the pace that she has to do and how that impacted her. And she said, we had to shift my mindset to, oh my gosh, I just ran 1 mile, 1 kilometer.
Yeah. 1 mile down.
Yeah. How you switch that mindset, how that really pushes you through and helps you persevere.
Absolutely. I recently posted a reel about that actually, because especially with cycling, which I've only been into again for like the last couple of years, again, because of my boyfriend, I was like, wait, I want to hang out on weekends. He's like, get a bike. So it's like, I talk to myself out loud. I don't really care if I'm going up a hill and it is hard and it is like, it's hard. But if you tell yourself like, wow, you're going a lot slower than everyone else, or like, you're not going as quickly as whatever, that's not going to help you. That's not going to make you go faster. It's only like bringing you down. And I don't, get me wrong, I have my days. I'm not positive every single day, but for the most part, when I'm exercising, I will literally say to myself, like, you are so strong going up this hill. Do you know how hard this hill is? And look at you, you're actually doing it. And if it really sucks, I'm like, you've done this before, so you know you can do it. So just keep going. And it's okay if you're going slower, but just keep going, because you're crushing this and you're so strong. And when you get to the top, you're going to feel so good. And I can like pump through a workout. I can get myself going, because talking to myself nicely, talking to yourself how you would talk to a friend, is what will get you up that hill.
So true. And it's one of the things too that I was thinking, to go back on what you were saying about The Amazing Race, is I know watching those shows, like kind of like judging people that are in it, like,
oh,
you see the stress and everything. And I remember I had to sit back and I was like, no, I would be that person. Like I don't do well under pressure in some situations. Like I remember my brother and I went down to California and I had put my passport into a safe, and usually I'll do the code, check it, make sure it's all good. For whatever reason, I didn't do that. And I put my passport in, I couldn't get it out, and I was panicking. And my brother was so chill. He's like, Kels, it's fine. Like, you just call down. It probably happens all the time. They'll send somebody up, they'll fix it. And I'm just like, no, like, what if they don't?
But what if they don't?
Yeah. It's stuck in there and I can't get back. God, and my brother's just like rolling his eyes at me.
Yeah.
He's like, listen, I got to go take the car rental back so you can stay here. So he just went off and did his own thing. Meanwhile, I'm stressed out waiting in the hotel for somebody to come get the passport out. And as to his point, somebody came and got it and it was totally fine. And I just sat there being so stressed out. So it's funny because I think you really learn how you are in certain situations. And I was like, okay, I need to be more chill. Like sometimes I'm a little bit high strung. So
that's funny. Yeah. And that brings me to another thing that I think we learned. I say we, like Bev and I obviously had so many conversations about this, like debriefing in the room after, right? And it was like how quickly you have to like let things go. I remember when the show was coming out and I was like, oh my God, like, how are they going to like portray us and blah, blah, blah. And I would get like nervous. And then of course we were like the villains. We were these two sporty, fit, cute, like loud, outgoing girls. Like, of course everyone's going to hate us. And then every time the show would come on and I'd be like, how are they going to portray us? How are they going to portray us? Like, yeah, no, that's how it went. Yeah, that is how it went. Okay, there's no portrayal of it. That is us. And I was like, oh God. But I really liked the fact that watching it, I wasn't like, I didn't feel like that's not who I am or something. You know, I was like, I was really myself. I was really psycho competitive when I needed to be, but I was also being goofy and making stupid jokes. And yeah.
Yeah, it's always cool to hear people's perspectives because you just never know. And I think just to hear the takeaways that you had from that experience and how it's, you know, positively helped you in other areas of your life, that's always something that seems to resonate with a lot of people that I talk to, is how an experience doing a race or doing something in the wilderness or outside really just, you know, helps you as a person, give you those skills that are so transferable into like everyday life.
Totally. Yeah. And I met some amazing people. And this, and I mean, you put a group of people together, you're not going to love everybody. You're not going to get along with everybody, but I did meet some amazing people and some like really inspiring people on that show that I raced against and that I still keep in touch with today. And so that was a huge perk, and got to see some parts of Canada I hadn't seen before, which was also a huge perk. And yeah, like I can't say enough good things about it. It was fun.
I love it. So yeah. Veronica, you had mentioned that you had done 154 flights at one point and that you were constantly living out of your carry-on bags, which I think is amazing. So did you have any tips for people that are looking to take the plunge into traveling with carry-on bags only?
Totally. Yeah. When you're on over 100 flights a year, checked bags is just not an option. It was not an option for me. I wanted to get off the plane and either to my hotel or home as soon as possible to like freshen up, have a shower, hit the lobby bar. And I honestly will say, like, I think I have mastered like living out of a carry-on only. And I've done over 4 weeks on the road in a carry-on. So yes, I definitely do have some tips. Obviously it depends where you're going, what you're going for, and what time of year, right? I mean, Edmonton in January, probably couldn't go 4 weeks in a carry-on, but my biggest thing was, I was like, okay, whatever you think you need, cut it in half. You don't need 6 shirts. Go for neutral colors and always go for things that you can mix and match. So one blouse with, like, this is for work, I'm thinking, with like a pair of shorts, a skirt, and a pair of pants, or vice versa. Things you can always mix and match. And if it's like black, white, gray, navy, easy. Invest in good, like small travel liquid things if you're somebody who really cares about like bringing your own stuff. But one thing I always say is, I'm like, you're not going to die using the hotel shampoo. Okay. Like if you're traveling for a week, you can use the hotel shampoo. You'll be fine. There's nothing worse than if your shampoo or your conditioner like explodes in your carry-on and everything's ruined. So just use the hotel shampoo. Like, hotels have really stepped it up these days. Roll your clothes. Obviously wear your biggest shoes or your biggest jacket. I always stuff my shoes in my suitcase, like stuff my underwear and my socks in my shoes to like, and then most hotels actually offer laundry service. So I just like send my laundry out. Like if I was going to pay to go home and do laundry at like, you know, at the coin operated laundry, I know a lot of people in Vancouver have that in their buildings. Like, what's an extra couple bucks? Just like have your laundry done, right? And then that way you get all fresh clothes if you're traveling for 2 weeks. I did this on The Amazing Race too. Washed my clothes like in the bathroom sink. at the hotel, right?
Yeah.
Beverly and I only had like an 18 liter backpack that we carried with us for the entire trip. So yeah, you gotta do what you gotta do to stay light.
Totally.
And hotels will often have like razors, Q-tips, toothbrushes, toothpaste, things like that. So like, I don't bring any of that stuff. I just like, every time I check into a hotel, I'm like, I need this, 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 this. And they'll bring it right up to your room for you. And then also don't forget, this is my last piece. Don't forget that like a large tote or a duffel can be considered a personal item. So you can actually kind of get away with two carry-ons.
Yeah, that's actually really good advice. Both of those at the end there. Because I one of the things that I didn't realize was that you could go to the concierge and ask to see if they have razor blades or things like the toiletries that you might have forgot, like a toothbrush. And my friend
toothpaste. Yeah. So that's a really good one. Sometimes I've even been, they have like the Neutrogena face wipes and stuff. Like they have little deodorants. I'm like, we can, yeah. So those are my tips and tricks.
That's awesome. Well, thank you. Those are great. So before we wrap up the episode, yeah, I usually like to do some rapid fire travel questions. I always laugh because I say rapid, but they're usually not.
We always end up chatting. Yeah. I'm like, I feel like I'm very chatty. When I saw it, I was like, rapid questions. I was like, I'm not very rapid. I'm very drawn out and long, and I like to talk a lot, but we'll see.
Yeah, no, I love it. Cause I like asking the questions to hear the thought process, and like,
okay,
it's been so different. And so there's been some controversial questions.
Ooh.
So I'm going to throw some of those in.
Okay.
But one of them is, do you recline your seat on an airplane?
I don't. No, because I work on my laptop so much on airplanes. The second the person reclines their laptop, I'm like, I hate you.
Same.
Just like, now, not only was I like this already, now I'm like this. And I'm like, so no, I don't recline my seat.
Yeah. I had a previous friend of mine. He was like, I do. Who doesn't? And I was like, it's a controversial question.
It is. Yeah, it is.
Love it. Okay. What is the best piece of travel advice that you were given?
Always book direct. Eat the food. If you're going to somewhere that you've never, you know, to a culturally different place, and try to speak the language, just at least try. There's nothing more ignorant than going to another country and expecting them to speak your language. Try to speak their language.
Do you like the aisle or the window or middle?
Depends where I'm flying. If I'm flying over somewhere scenic, like the mountains or the ocean or something, I like a window. But if it's like a work flight, I'm usually aisle, so I can just like get out of there. Sweet. Yeah. But I'm not picky.
Yeah. You'll sit wherever.
Mm-hmm.
And what's one of the things that we'll find packed? Like you can't leave without it when you're going on a trip. It's a must have.
Chapstick. And this is so funny. My sister is howling. Like a bag of mixed nuts, which I thought was normal.
Don't they usually give those out? It's like pretzels.
Well, pretzels. And there's only like four. Like I eat a lot on an air. Like I love airplane food. That's a very controversial question, I think. Do you like airplane food? I'm like, I love it. Give me the disgusting microwave pizza. Oh yeah. Oh, here's a tip too. If you are somebody who likes pizza, like dipped in ranch, order the pizza with like the veggies and dip as your snack. Dip your pizza in the ranch.
These are amazing tips.
Hey, but yeah, okay. Chapstick is definitely one of them. And then like a bag of nuts and maybe some like CBD gummies.
I guess after going on almost more than 100 flights, you've got this down pat.
I've got it down. Yeah. Yeah.
I love it. Okay. Other question would be, what do you do on a plane? Do you read? Do you sleep? Do you watch a movie? How do you pass the time?
I generally work, which is such a lame answer, but I feel like it's a really good time to be like not distracted, right? Because you don't have your phone, you don't have like people in the office, like you don't have any distractions. So I tend to get a lot of work done. It could be work for work, or I do a lot of like my Mondays stuff on there. And if I'm feeling super lazy, I definitely just like do movies and drink red wine.
Love it. Okay. Last question is, cool. What is the next destination that you plan to travel to?
Ooh. So, I mean, I'm going to Toronto. Actually I'm going to Vegas and then I'm going to Toronto, but like a vacation, my sister and her fiance and my partner and I are going to Cabo. Yeah. And then other than that, I think we always do like one big trip a year. Next year, we're looking at like a hiking trip in Scotland or hiking trip in Portugal.
Oh, love it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. If you do Scotland, you have to go. Well, the best times to go is spring or in the fall because they have the midges, which are like the bugs that are really annoying.
Okay. Okay. So good to know.
Yeah.
Didn't know about this.
Yes. Because I learned a lot because I did a hiking trip in Scotland and there was a lot.
Okay. Well, we got to chat about that because I'm going to need some tips.
Yeah. I'll fill you in. But anyways, well, thank you so much, Veronica, for joining me today.
Thank you so much. This was really fun and really easy. And I was nervous, but I think it was awesome.
You crushed it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Carry On Bags Only podcast. If you haven't already, hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode. Until next time, keep calm and carry on.